O'Hero Braided Line is the only gel-spun fiber line that comes in four colors, including our multicolor braid, which changes every 10 yards for trolling and deep dropping. O'Hero Braided Line is not only the thinnest line in the fishing industry, but also ranks as the highest in abrasion resistance, using the highest and latest technology. O'Hero Braid will cast further and last longer. It comes in many spool sizes from 150 yards to bulk size. Very importantly, with great prices. You can find O'Hero Braided Line at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or online at justforfishing.com.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface quartz with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Friotto, these floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
Welcome to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show, home of the premier guides and capmel.com.
There's lots of good eating fish out there. You don't have to be snacking down on carp anymore.
Captain Jason Prieto, Neil Taylor, and Danny Guarino give you the latest fishing forecast to keep you dialed in on the fish.
First of all, it shouldn't smell like fish.
So get ready for an hour of learning, laughs, and a little bit of cutting up.
You chose as your topic fish.
Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show starts now.
This segment brought to you by Grizzly Coolers, coolers that are made to last a lifetime. For more information on Grizzly Coolers, check out their website at grizzlycoolers.com or visit a retailer near you.
And we're back. Another week, Fish Talk Radio on 1040 AM, Sports Talk the Team. I am Neil Taylor, here with Captain Travis Yackel for another week. Travis?
We're here, man.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
You guys covered for me while I got through the Captain Mel Classic prep work. And that's all done in history, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk fishing. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, Travis, what's your fishing been like? I know your schedule's like mine. You're not out every day like you used to be.
Yeah, it's kind of thinned off a little bit. It's actually been kind of nice. We ran, you know, pretty heavy through March and April, and normally this time of year I get a little bit slow right in the beginning of May, and then we kind of get cranking back up, and that's kind of the case this year. But I've actually had the last 2 days off. It's been really nice. Got to spend a little time with my seven-month-old, get to hang out with her a little bit, rig up a few rods, getting ready for tarpon season, restring some rods. Just FYI, I'm using 40-pound Fenn's Braid Wind Tamer for tarpon this year. Get those guys spooled up, and pretty much that's about it, man. The fishing has been good. Like I said, I've been off the water for the last couple of days, but prior to that, we've had some good fishing. As we talked about in last week's report, that later afternoon bite seems to be a little bit better for me. We've had great success kind of letting some boats get off the water. We've had quite a bit of traffic down the South Shore, so given that traffic a little bit time to clear out and let fish settle in. We got some high water to fish in the afternoon and fish in the outgoing tide. So fishing's been really good. Redfish, snook, and trout. Probably a little more reds than we've been seeing.
Good.
So fishing's been good. How about you, Neil?
Good. My thing, we'll talk about the Captain Mel Classic. That consumed part of my activity. But I did charters right up to it. And actually, we hit tough fishing the day before the tournament, so I wondered how tournament results would be,
mm-hmm.
And it was worse on tournament day than it was the day before. People battled. I'll go over the results, but it went from 3 days earlier where probably, you know, tides were getting better every day that came along. The fishing got worse. There was a front that came through.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to talk about, kind of pointed me towards fishing those afternoons, is we did have a good cold front that came through. Kind of weird.
Yeah.
First of May cold front. But we saw temperatures down like 58 degrees in the morning down where we were at. Probably, you know, a little bit lower in some of the other places. But it definitely put a stent on some of the fishing. But we kind of waited and fished around. Kind of we went back to a winter pattern, fished around some rocks and oyster bars. And
ended up
finding some fish that wanted to chew. So we were able to make some stuff happen. But for sure it definitely affected the fishing a little bit.
Yeah, it chopped it up. So the Captain Mel Classic, I'll chop it up and I'll talk about a little about it throughout the show. $30 entry fee, so it's a cheap entry fee. There are five divisions, open, no motor, fly, junior, and ladies. $30 entry fee, $5 buy-in for bonus species, which is flounder. Three of the five divisions had a winner in flounder. In the fly division, the ladies division, there were no flounder caught. The overall pool of $10 buy-in kind of added a lot of interest. We started that last year, and the results on that were pretty interesting. So I'll jump in on some of the other results later. The tournament was definitely successful again. Participation was excellent again. Sponsor support, just incredible. My assistants were lumping together three or four items for every raffle number I was calling.
That's awesome.
After all the stuff that went as prizes, we got done faster than we ever had before, but if we did the raffle stuff one at a time, we would have been there till 10 o'clock at night. But it was good. Bonus species flounder, Drew Machini won the junior division. He won $40. Eugene Foster, $120 payout in the no motor with a 14.25-inch flounder. Ben Kirkconnell took second place in that division. Open division, Brad Stiegelman, $70, 14-inch flounder. Anthony Rufo with the second-place flounder. No flounder caught in the flyer ladies division, so that covered that there. The overall pool, you got the same format. You have combined inches, longest redfish, longest trout. The overall thing, the $10 buy-in, only first place pays out.
Gotcha.
First place combined inches, first place redfish, first place trout. First place redfish, Casey Arrowsmith, caught a 30-inch redfish. That was the biggest fish in the tournament.
Nice fish. Nice fish.
Hunter Koch fished with his father, Randy. He had the first place trout, which both of those, first place redfish, first place trout, both paid $185. Combined inches, Hunter beat out his father, Randy, by 0.4 inches.
Whoo!
So that's for both. They were in the same division, and that's also for the overall pool. So Hunter got that $250. His father, second place, got prizes. So the overall pool is definitely interesting. Ryan Machini.
So dinner that night was interesting.
That's what I said. Hopefully Hunter. It's funny because they were the only people that hadn't paid their entry fee, and they paid the next day. I got it through PayPal, but yeah, they walked out. I totaled it up. It was like $945.
Nice.
They won with their division fees and the overall pool. So they had a good day out there. Second place redfish, Ryan Machini, 28.5 inches. Second place trout, Randy Koch, 20 inches, right behind Hunter there. So that was the overall pool. And
well, despite, you know, pretty tough conditions, there were still some nice fish caught.
Yeah,
I mean, some guys managed to find them, man.
And it you know, it's kind of that point. I'm starting to get feedback from people. There's only one guy that caught a lot of fish, and he didn't catch a single fish to enter into the tournament. Ed Villafranca showed up to the check-in and he said, "Hey Neil, do redfish have a stripe on them?" No, Ed.
Here's your sign.
And he said, "Well, if they did," he goes, "I'd be a contender." He goes, "I couldn't get away from those fish that got a stripe on them."
So that was a racing mullet.
Ed caught snook all morning long, and he goes, "The first time I've seen him in there since the freeze," and he didn't catch any big ones, but he caught a bunch of them. He just had a blast. He was like, "I couldn't catch a redfish or a trout to save my life," but he said, "All those little snook were there and hungry." So the fly division, I'll go over the results, but first feedback I got from the fly division was Fred McClendon. He won the overall combined inches. He also got first place trout. He had second place redfish. There was only two redfish caught. Well, anyway, his redfish, he said, I caught it on that black fly.
Oh, that
he
one.
Posted on capmel.com and said, "Really?" Said, "I tied that fly." So I could tie a fly that'll catch a redfish. So I thought that was kind of funny. I'm not going to quit my guiding business to tie flies.
Come on, Neil.
But I caught a fly that caught a 24.5-inch redfish. So,
it's a good calling, brother.
Yeah, but Fred won the combined inches, which is the trophy. Andrew Buda had first place redfish. He beat out Fred by less than an inch. Fred had the longest trout. Chuck Hankel had second longest trout. Phil Still had the third longest trout. So that covers the fly division. So in segment two, we'll do the tides and the weather, and I will go over the results in the ladies, the junior, the open, and the new motor.
Nice.
But
nice.
Anyway, we got a couple minutes before that break, Travis. So what else you been hearing? Anything going on?
Well, I mean, it's you know, I just got done writing my monthly article for the Observer newspaper down on South Shore, and basically what I talked about was it's getting hot, you know, and that's kind of the trend. I mean, granted, we just had a cold front, but I'm kind of moving all my efforts towards fishing this hotter climate, fishing this hotter water, starting trips a little bit earlier in the morning, starting trips a little bit later in the afternoon, fishing
right.
And eating bites. So we're getting to that kind of point in the year where that middle 4 hours of the day, say 10 to 2, tends to be pretty hot. Now, you know, you get the occasional good tide that'll move some water around and kind of cool things down where you can still get on a good bite. But for the most part, if you're not on those 1 or 2, 3 days of the month where that's going to take place, you're better off, you know, sitting at the bar having a beer and drinking a sandwich or eating a sandwich, rather, than sitting out there cooking yourself. So,
or you could do what I do, 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock, the black drummer back on the bridges.
Yep, and that's what I was getting ready to say, is
you can go and do that.
Right.
That's an option when those fish are not going to feed in the shallows, you can go to a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Pompano, I have not hit the Pompano yet, but the black drum, I've been out twice, and we've got 40 to 60-pound black drum easily both trips. So
nice.
That is an option again.
Yeah, and then, you know, like I even talked about in recent reports and articles about the mackerel, the big schools of threadfin have started to show up inside the bridge. We're seeing them all along the south shore, quarter to half mile, you know, off the sandbars. You're going to see, you know, large pods of threadfins, and mixed in those guys, you're going to find, you know, the Spanish mackerel. You're going to find even some smaller kingfish that'll make their way up into the bay. So, on those times where you don't get a lot of water moving and it is pretty warm inshore, you can always slide out and do, you know, mackerel sharks, and then, you know, we'll probably hit on it again in the next segment, but the tarpon are starting to show up. So there are options, but as far as inshore, the game for me is fish early and fish a little bit later right now.
It's a good plan, and middle part of May, that is all going to shift to where that has to be your plan. Later this month, it's warming up. It is still kind of like spring, but that is almost over. Overnight temperatures are not getting below 70 anymore. We're going to be into summertime, and it's going to be a long, hot summer. And if you're not starting your fishing trips at 6 a.m. or 6 p.m., you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
And that's what we're coming up on. Well, Travis, that's going to bring us up to our first break. Everyone's going to get a chance to listen to messages from our show sponsors. When we get back, we're going to talk more about the Captain Mel Classic. We're going to talk more about our radio show. We're going to talk more about the fishing that's coming up. We will be right back after these messages, so stand by.
Rich Eisen.
I might be the mayor of the Politics Challenge.
I like it.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Joining us right now is John Barry. Frank Vogel's firing. There was some criticism of Larry Bird in mentioning at one point about how Vogel spent a considerable amount of time asking for Bird to reconsider. What did you think about that?
It's a strange one, you know, and then he says, I'm not firing him. I'm just not renewing his contract. But I thought Vogel was an excellent coach. It was a major change in philosophy in Indiana this year. It's always been a team with a bunch of big guys. You go back to the Davis brothers and Rick Smith. I mean, they had some great runs to the Eastern Conference Finals. Couldn't get by Miami with LeBron. But I thought he was a great coach. Obviously, we're not around there every day, and there might be some philosophy differences between Larry and Frank, but that guy will land on his feet. He's a heck of an NBA coach.
Time to roll.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Weeknights 7 till 10 on Sports Talk 1040, The Team.
Hey, Lucy, you're the CFO of this company.
That's why you pay me.
We need a better way to manage our expenses.
Concur.
Automated expense reports.
Concur.
Faster invoice processing. Timely financial data. A whole system that helps us make better decisions around how we spend our money.
Concur.
While I appreciate your enthusiasm, I'm actually looking for ideas, not agreement.
That's why we're getting Concur for expense, travel, and invoice. Everything you described scaled perfectly to our business, and it's surprisingly cost-effective.
Lucy, you're a genius.
I concur.
Expense, travel, invoice. Learn more at concur.com.
The tides and weather are brought to you by Werner Paddle. For decades, Werner Paddles have been handcrafted in the USA, making great paddles for kayak anglers. If you're looking for a new paddle, look to Werner and try one today, because a great fishing paddle is a great paddling paddle. Go to WernerPaddles.com to locate a dealer near you. And we're back. Segment two of the show. Neil and Captain Travis here. We got the tides and the weather brought to you by Werner Paddle. Werner Paddle, sponsor of the Captain Mel Classic, donated like a $500 paddle.
Nice.
Which Casey Aerosmith won. He was second place combined inches in his division, which was the no motor division. The first place prize in that division was a kayak, which was donated by me.
Ooh.
A month before the tournament, and my kayak sponsor.
Did it come with the fishing mojo too?
I touched it. I rubbed it a little. But it's brand new, never touched the water, so I could not pass up the opportunity to do it that way, because the grand prize has always been a brand new kayak, and I had one, so I bit the bullet, and I threw it in there.
Well, I'm sure everybody appreciates that, Neil.
And Ryan Machini, 42.8 combined inches, won that kayak. Casey Aerosmith, 42.1 inches, so half an inch.
That's without a snook, right?
No snook.
Yeah.
Rick Taylor, 39 inches, so Casey was half an inch away from Ryan for his second place, so Ryan wins the no-motor division. Casey had the longest redfish. Zareel Sagpow had the longest trout, 18.1 inches. We didn't see any giant, giant trout this year.
No.
No, we did not. Overall, the fishing was tough. There's a bunch of people that their name isn't on here that were among the best fishermen in this event, and they didn't put a good fish on the board.
It happens, man.
Yeah.
It definitely happens, and especially around these fronts, like you say. I mean, you know, we take people out for a living, so it's, you know, you're always trying to be real with people and tell them, hey, you know, this is coming, that's coming, and it's not really until you get out there and you go, man, this is really kind of sucking right now.
It was bad.
We ran a big corporate event out of Gandy that week or that Friday before the event, and it was tough fishing. Saw a lot of fish. I got in the tower. I started hitting some spots where I knew some fish were laid up and couldn't get anything to eat, couldn't get anything to bust on any chum. So I finally got in the tower and kind of trolling around a little bit just to see, okay, am I fishing on empty holes or are these fish just not eating? And sure enough, it was really just fish not eating. And, you know, you fish a spot for 5-10 minutes, you get in the tower and you kind of buzz around and there they are all just laying there. So it wasn't a matter of people not being on fish. You might have caught them 3 or 4 days or a week before. But the little cold front that we did have certainly had an impact on the fishing. We had a, you know, tough bite, and I think there was 40 or 45 charter boats in that event. And, there was a number of boats that, to be honest with you, didn't catch any fish. So,
right.
You know, to say that some of these guys came out and, put some quality fish across the board, you know, hats off to them. And you can see, you know, based on the results here that, they kind of I always say there's 49-51. Fishing is 49% skill and 51% luck.
Yeah.
And the guys that got on top, you know, in this event were the 51%. So definitely hats off to them. Looking forward to another great event next year. I know that something you work, you know, real hard on, Neil, and I'm sure everybody appreciates, you know, what you put into it and what it's become.
Yeah, I've got it down. I mean, the sponsor support. What's nice now is I've got more assistance on tournament day. So Mary and Kim helped with, you know, I'm calling stuff off and they're picking it up and handing it to people. I don't
right.
have to do any of the searching. Mark, my he's my guy logging in the fish. He's my judge. Carolyn, my technical person, she's the one putting it in a spreadsheet and computing all that stuff for us. So me, I just have to run the event. I do all the work getting the stuff there from the sponsors, which is way easier than it was the first couple of years, but it takes a little effort, but I'll keep doing it because it doesn't bother me to do it.
Good deal, man. I know it's a great event. I know you get a great turnout. Even when the fishing's down, you know, it seems to be a really good time for folks to get out and enjoy
selfishly,
the water.
You know, it was a tough day on tournament day. Selfishly, I kind of had to laugh when it was all over because I didn't have a charter. And I was like, at least I didn't have to be out there with the fish not eating.
Chew through it, right?
Because it was the day before. We did okay, but it was not like it had been. I mean,
yeah.
it was tougher. So I kind of wondered if they were going to turn back on or if it was going to be bad.
Yeah.
And there's people that they were so frustrated. They were just they didn't realize it was that bad for everyone else, too.
Yeah. And I think what got us, too, is we had some really low tides those mornings, and it really drew that water temperature down in some of those shallow areas that we were fishing. And again, you know, that's what we did, kind of talking fishing on it, is we went to oyster bars and rock piles and some of the, you know, real, real sandy areas where this water was going to warm up. And we had a beautiful day. The actual sunshine, the weather conditions weren't bad for us. It was just the water temp and the air temp was down a little bit. And then it got windy. I don't know if, I mean, we've had some serious wind. We ended up having to run across the bay, and it was pretty sketchy, to say the least, not to mention a little cool. So
it blew pretty good on the people that fished the tournament. It started out decent, but they ended up in the wind.
Yeah, that was kind of how it starts off, a little bit calmer in the morning, and then as the afternoon progressed, it seemed to get a little bit, you know, a little bit windier. So hopefully, you know, everybody got them in the morning, didn't have to battle through casting in that wind.
Our junior division, seven entries, only three fish caught. So, tough day. I mean, these were juniors that all had someone pretty good with them to help them along.
Right.
Sean Blanton caught a 15.9-inch trout for first place. Samantha Horn, who has fished in all six of the Captain Mel Classics, even though she's only 9 years old, she caught a 13.5-inch trout. The only other fish caught, Drew Machini, Ryan's son. He caught a flounder that there was only $20 in that pot. I gave him 40, and I bumped it up 20 bucks because there was none caught in the fly and none caught in the ladies, so I threw an extra 20 bucks to Drew. So anyway, that's it for the junior division. I left the ladies division for last, and the ladies division has become more and more interesting to look at every year. And this year was a good one. Trout, third place, Kim Darren, 14.9 inches. Second place, Katrina McIntyre, that's my nephew's girlfriend, 16.25 inches. She was a quarter of an inch short of first place, which was Holly Rufo. Holly Rufo also got a 27.1 inch redfish.
Uh-oh.
So Holly got combined inches, 43.6 inches, which was the third highest inch total in the entire tournament.
Wow.
So
she stung him.
Yeah, Holly was just short. See, Holly was just short of Randy and Hunter by a couple inches in the overall pool. And Ryan Machini was another inch and a half behind her, but Holly had herself a day. A 16.5-inch trout and a 27-inch redfish gave her a pretty good total. So that's it for the ladies division. So we've covered it all now. Ladies, junior, fly, open, no motor, bonus species, and overall pool. So
now some of these folks, did you kind of talk to them, Neil? And I mean, what was what was kind of their technique, some of the guys and ladies that were successful? Do you have an idea where they were fishing or what they were doing? Did you guys zone in on anybody?
They're kind of like me. Most people don't want to say.
That's what I'm talking about.
There's not a lot of specifics given. They will tell me, but they'll say, don't tell anyone. I don't want anyone to know where I'm fishing. So so I don't divulge that. I know there were quite a few people that were willing to tell me where the fishing was really bad.
Always. They always tell you where the catfish are, man.
Yeah.
They always tell you where the catfish are. Well, good deal. Well, it sounds like it was a good time, man. I'm going to have to get out there next year and give it a whirl, man.
Yeah.
I hadn't done as many tournaments this year. I've been kind of focusing on my charter business, but we've got some stuff coming up. I know fish quite a few corporate tournaments, but there's a redfish event coming up. Matter of fact, this show airs on Sunday, so it just had happened, you know, this Saturday. If you're on the South Shore, you'll probably see some stung redfish. So if the redfish aren't cooperating this morning while you're listening to the show, it's probably because they were ran down all weekend, and this week there's a redfish event going out of Hula Bay. But anyway, that's cool, Neil. Other than that, man, what's going on with the fishing, man? What are you looking forward to? What are you guys targeting this week, man?
I've got a couple instructional trips, so it'll be out early. We'll be starting at 5:45 in the morning. We'll be doing some trout. We'll be going for redfish first. We'll take a whack at redfish for the first hour and a half, and then it's switching over to trout and some flounder if we go to the areas where we catch flounder. I will start to have more and more of the bridge trips. All I had to do was show two photos of those giant black drum, and other people want to go do that.
Sure.
Now,
are you getting those on artificial, or are you throwing shrimp, or how are we getting the big
black
drum?
I don't bait a hook.
I didn't think
I'm not going to bait a hook. The Silly Willy with my custom teaser.
Nice.
You put that down, doesn't matter what species it is, it's down there, they eat it. So, anyway, I got Pat out there. He'd never caught one. So, got Pat hooked up to his drum. What am I catching? I'm catching the cobia. So, I caught a couple cobia that were both 20 to 25 pounders.
Good fish.
Using the same lure.
Nice.
And,
we've seen quite a few travel in some of the bars and stuff. We've got some really clean water right now on some of the high-flow areas, especially up in the South Shore. And we've been seeing quite a few cobia cruising the bars. And we got one, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, back up in, you know, kind of in a backcountry area up through a main passageway. They'll kind of creep up sometimes when we get this higher water in the afternoon evenings. Some of these cobia will actually cross the bar and get up into some creeks and some of these channels. So, we've actually seen quite a few cobia, so it's good to see, man.
Well, let's go to break number two. When we get back, we'll touch on the tides because we kind of skipped that talking about the tournament. But we will be right back. We'll hit on the tides, and we'll get back to the rest of the show.
Right now, I'm on this lake shore. I'm sitting in the sun. That door tonight, yeah, I'm gonna miss her.
The Skyway Fishing Piers open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drive up to terrific action at bare minimum expense. No fishing license necessary. Enjoy some great fishing action at the mouth of Tampa Bay. Take advantage of our expert staff, rod rentals, and enjoy some awesome rod bending action from both our north and south piers. We are looking forward to seeing you at the Skyway Piers.
Designed by professional guides with four characteristics that all high-end fishing rods have: durability, sensitivity, stability, and value. Built to use under all fishing conditions that every angler faces, there is no rod that covers more of your fishing needs. Ohiro series rods include gold, platinum, signature, specialty kayak, and tournament rods. A rod for every angler. Whether you're a recreational angler, guide, or tournament professional, they have a rod that will be as versatile as your fishing condition. Find Ohiro rods at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or www.justforfishing.com.
And now it's time for the Come On Man, sponsored by Foy's Tire Service. If you need to get some new tires on your truck,
car or even your boat, just give Foy's Tire Service a call at 813-241-4017.
All right, we're back. Segment three of the show, the Come On Man. The tides, we said we would cover that. So leaving the new moon tides, we're pretty much through the weaker tides, and we're starting to get closer to the full moon. So later this week, the tides are going to ramp up and get even better. It's a little slow right now, but it's going to get better as the week goes on.
That's right. And, you know, same advice we've kind of been alluding to is, you know, fish that morning, fish that afternoon. Water's hot during the middle of the day. If you got a good, you know, clear, calm day, especially no wind, no breeze, no ripple on the water, it can be very, very tough to catch fish from, you know, high noon, you know, plus or minus 2 hours. So take that advice. If you're out just to have a good time, don't take the advice. Go out fishing, have a great time, get some sun, soak up some sun, drink some beers, drink plenty of water, do something, but you might not catch a lot of fish. That's my prediction anyway. But you know what, man? You never do know. I always say you don't know until you go.
Yeah, we had last week. That's about 10 days ago. So got a trip, and we're out there all morning. It's a father-son. And so the father's buying the trip for the son as a present. I'm actually taking the son out again later this month with another friend of his. So it's getting late morning, and they've caught some fish. They've caught some good fish. And I said to the father, I go, we may be hitting that midday slowdown. It's getting that close to summertime. So he says to Jake, he said, what do you want to do? And Jake said, if you don't mind, I'd just soon stay out a couple more hours.
That's right.
So we did. You know that the fishing lit up. They ended up with 42 trout over 17 inches, and they caught most of them after noon. Nice. That was right about noon when I was talking about calling it in.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid said, no, let's stay. There was a period of time there for a half an hour. They both had fish on, and all these fish were 19, 20 inches long.
That's nice. That's good to see, man. Especially
middle of the day.
Yeah, and that's the whole point is, you know, you can talk from experience. And I talked a little bit about on the last show is kind of the law of averages. You fish enough days that you're going to have bad days, you're going to have good days. And especially, you know, being a full-time fishing guide, you can make an assessment based on what you see, what you're seeing, what over the years in your logs, what you're seeing, what you've caught, what the weather's been like, what fish have done on certain tides or certain weather patterns. So you can always make a good prediction, but at the end of the day, you don't know till you go.
I mean,
they are one of the most unpredictable animals on the planet. I mean, really. I mean, you can do everything right some days and can't get a fish to chew. So, you know, if you've got that window opportunity where tides might not be that great or the weather might not be that great, you know, and you're still interested in doing some fishing, get out there. You know, enjoy the weather. The weather should be pretty nice over the next couple of weeks. I think we're getting to that summertime pattern.
The wind of spring seems to be over.
Yep.
You have more days with less wind.
Yep, we're starting to see a lot of south wind, which normally brings the heat in. Go ahead and get your days in now because, you know, in a month, we're going to be talking about thunderstorms. We're going to be talking about mid-morning, afternoon thunderstorms.
And I wonder if we'll get the morning storms first,
which you
can get in late May,
yeah,
where you're more likely to have a morning thunderstorm.
Yep, and they'll progressively work their way towards the afternoon. I know last year, you know, it was like, let's hurry up and get out and fish. We'll get out and fish till 11 o'clock. It'll rain till 2 o'clock, and then we might be able to get back out in the afternoon. And quite a few times, that's actually what we did, and we actually crushed the fish. Take advantage of the high sun. Take advantage of the clear skies and enjoy, you know, being out there on the water. Like I said, during those high sun hours, just, you know, try to stay out of that shallow water, pulling skiff type atmosphere.
Yeah, nothing's going to happen in there.
You know, chances are they just won't eat. So that would be kind of, you know, tip from the guide as far as I'm concerned, you know, because that or cut bait. That was the other thing I was going to go into is, you know, I know that's doesn't really apply to what you're doing, Neil, but on our end of things, sometimes we don't get a choice. And that's one of the things that I like to do during those hotter times or slow tide periods, particularly for redfish and even big snook. is we'll go ahead and go into a cut bait pattern. Even though I've got live well full of live bait, I'll tend to move towards that cut bait pattern if we have to fish or grind through one of those slow tide or hot time areas during the day, is we'll go to a cut bait pattern. That seems to, you normally won't get on a good bite where you've got a lot of activity in a short burst of time, but what you will do is during those slower periods, you will pick away at fish that are moving a little bit slower. Fish's metabolism tends to slow down when the water heats up, and they can't digest food quite like they can in a little bit cooler water. So that tends to affect them a little bit. They get a little more sluggish. They don't want to chase around a bait.
Sure.
So that's what I would recommend as far as, you know, fishing over the next couple weeks.
That is that's a good tip. That's one I tell people. You know, I'm teaching people how to do it with lures, but I'll tell them if you want to fish July and August and catching a fish is important to you, you may have to feed them something.
Yeah.
You know, there's Procure was a sponsor of our tournament, even though Procure is not legal for our tournament.
Oh.
They give us samples that I give away after the tournament. So if you want to catch something in July or August and it's the water temperature is near 90, you may have a hard time catching them on lures even in the best time of day. You may catch them at 2, 3 in the morning, but for, you know, the normal fishing hours that you're out there, you may need to, you know, my first choice would be you have a small hook and you catch a pinfish and you take a scissors and you cut them in half.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a bigger pinfish, you can cut them in three pieces. You put that out in front of there fresh. You want it caught that day. You don't want to use a pinfish that's been laying in the cooler overnight. You catch it that day. You lay it there in front of them until they eat it. It's first choice for me because the double-sided skin prevents the other pinfish from eating all the meat off it, like
that's
when
right.
you're using a chunk of ladyfish.
Mm-hmm.
That double-sided skin will allow a predator that you want to catch to get to that bait before the other fish eat all the meat off it. But it's definitely an option, and it's definitely something that you can keep in your back pocket when you do get into those times where you may not catch anything on a lure.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. The other one is, I don't know how much time we got left here, but
yeah, four minutes.
Throw one out at you here. There's a lot of guys getting crab right now, tarpon fishing. And one of the things I'll do is when I've got some crab, I've got some small blue crabs or even some past crabs, and we're either done with tarpon fishing or the tide's not moving. If you've got enough crabs or you're just trying to burn a couple hours or an hour before you head back in after catching some tarpon, you can take those crabs and bring them inshore. And, you know, you can snap their back and fish them like a soft shell, or you can, you know, just cut their legs off and claws off and hook them just like you would hook them tarpon fishing and actually set them up under some bushes or lay them out in potholes. And, you know, you'd be surprised. We catch redfish, snook, and trout. I've caught all three on crab.
Oh, yeah.
Every one of them will eat a crab, especially in the summertime months. Not kind of what you would expect, but if, you know, just by putting a pinhole of a hook through that crab, you get an immense amount of scent that comes out of that crab, and particularly redfish. I don't know if if you ever clean a redfish, you'll find 9 times out of 10, you'll find some kind of crab. Whether they're small little mangrove crabs or the little, I forget what they call, bandit crabs or whatever, little small like grass crabs or little small shrimp, but you'll always find little small crabs and redfish. So it's a main part of their diet is crustaceans, even though you know, they'll eat white bait and they'll eat pinfish and they'll go after any kind of fish, really. But a crab will definitely get a bite on a hot, you know, kind of stagnant, no-tide day. So if you're coming back in from tarpon fishing, that's kind of why I bring it up, because a lot of guys got some crabs for tarpon, and they'll work just as well inshore. So that's kind of a tip to maybe get you through one of those hot days, try to catch some fish.
Long time ago, you know what I used to do with crabs? And this is back when I used to see them more regularly, and I'd have a dip net.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have them in a plastic bag, and I'd take a hammer, and I would just beat them with a hammer into a mush.
Now, were you fishing, or was this just fun?
Oh, I'm not that kind of kid. Magnifying glass on ants. Well, You take this bag of crab mush, and you put it in the water next to where you're fishing. The redfish come right to you.
Yeah,
I catch
right
one
in your pocket.
I catch redfish one after another with this big bag of crab mush out there.
I'm sure it would work, man. Sometimes they get a little stupid.
Yeah, the scent of crab is very, very distinct for them.
It is.
And that is a big part of their diet, so there's no question. That species in particular, but you're right, snook eat them. Trout will eat them. So.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize if you've never caught a redfish or one big enough to really kind of check him out a little bit, next time you do, open his mouth and look right down his throat.
Crushers.
You'll see some of the weirdest looking crushers, spiky, just gnarly looking things, and that's what they're designed to do. They're actually designed to eat crustaceans. Their mouth's on the bottom. They've got gigantic crushers. They look like, you know, what they used to mine down in for gold or something with, you know, big giant round crushers. But that's something that if you've never done, it's a pretty cool bite too. So if you got some crabs left over, give them a shot and never know what you're going to catch, man.
Segment four coming up. We're gonna make that the come on man this week. We'll see if Travis has one. Also, that's the captain's tip of the week. Reminder, our official website, capmel.com, huge fishing resource. And I can tell you there's a ton of stuff on there because I put it up there. Four to six new articles per day going up there. The forums are free. You can join the forums and take part in our fishing talk on there. We're on Facebook, Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show. You can find us on Facebook. So when we get back, the final segment of the show, and as usual, it's great to have Captain Travis on here. So we're going to take our last break, and when we get back, we're going to finish the show strong. So listen to these messages, and we will be right back.
Catch more fish? Try Ohiro's 100% fluorocarbon leader. It's by far the most invisible fluorocarbon on the market today, with superior abrasion resistance to meet any rugged saltwater conditions. Ohiro fluorocarbon leader is easy to tie and comes in all strengths to fit every angler's needs. Used by many tournament anglers and charter boat captains, Ohiro fluorocarbon leader should be in your tackle box.
See them at www.justforfishing.com, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or any of your major tackle shops.
Captain Jason Prieto here, and if you're in the market for a new boat, I can't think of a better choice than Canyon Bay Boats. From their 2470 with its huge front deck to the popular 2400 with its full transom and offshore capabilities, they have the perfect boat for you. Each boat is custom built to fit your fishing style, and they have an option list that will make any angler glad they chose Canyon Bay. If you'd like more information on Canyon Bay, check out their website at www.canyonbayboats.com. Or just give them a call for a sea trial at 727-639-7584.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface disturbance course with a noise-attracting clip. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
This is the Dan Patrick Show.
I just like to say that y'all rock, man.
Johnny Manziel with his smug shot looked like he'd been there before. Johnny Manziel has said, look, why is everybody, you know, reacting this way? This is who I've been. Nobody had a problem with this in college because Johnny could play his way out of it in college. Can't play his way out of it. He doesn't have a job. He's going to be suspended probably by the NFL.
Dan Patrick.
Weekday mornings 9 to noon on Sports Talk 1040, The Team.
I leave the radio on constantly.
Sports Talk 1040, The Team.
We have you covered all week long.
Hi, I'm Dan Patrick. Glad to be back in Tampa Bay. Weekdays 9 a.m.
Here's Sports Talk 1040, The Team in Tampa Bay. Powered by NBC Sports.
Hey, it's Gene Simmons. You're listening to Sports Talk 1040 right here. But you knew that, didn't you?
Want to fish with one of the hosts of the Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show? All you have to do is give us a call, 813-373-2610. And now it's time for the Captain's Tip of the Week.
This segment brought to you by PowerPole Shallow Water Anchors. Swift, silent, and secure. For more information, go to PowerPole.com.
Okay, the final segment of the show. Captain Travis, give everyone your website and your phone number again.
Well, yeah, guys, if you're interested in, you know, learning some more information about me or getting a hold of me wanting to do an inshore fishing charter, you can check out my website. It's www.fishbyinstinct.com. Or you can give me a call on my cell phone, which is 813-830-3474. Give me a call. Go on the website, check it out. I got pictures up there. We got some fishing reports. I actually write a monthly column for the Osprey Observer News down on the South Shore, so you can read my monthly reports there. And then obviously, you know, you guys get the good stuff here on the radio. So if you're interested in that, give me a call. Jason, Danny, or I can get you out on the water if I'm booked. So we can definitely get you taken care of. And then you know, Neil, the kayak master over here, he can get you out too. So we got you pretty well squared away on the show here.
Travis, did you have a come on man this week?
You know, I almost gave it away last week, and I forget what me and Jason talked about. But we had a couple good ones last week, but I kind of had one, and here's kind of how it went. This time of year, we get some clear water backcountry. Everybody's got a pretty good amount of white bait, so there's quite a few guys chumming in certain areas. And what we tend to get is we get some pretty friendly birds, I'm going to say. Whether it's pelicans, terns, seagulls, you can draw attention to yourself by throwing out a couple bats of chum, and you'll have birds. You have the birds coming. So we're in a particular spot fishing the shoreline where I've been getting quite a few good fish, redfish and snook. And I'm telling the guys, I said, listen, you know, I've got to throw out a little bit of chum. These fish were kind of tucked up under the bushes. I could see them. And so we're trying to get them to come out. Long story short, they had about three pelicans come in on and started dive bombing on the chum. I'm like, oh, gosh. Well, the guys were from up north, so they're getting a little mad. You know, gosh dang birds, this, that, and the other. You know, it's something you got to deal with. And I'm going, I'm kind of giggling inside going, yeah, you know, just deal with it. So next thing you know, the guy on the front of the boat bows over. Well, he's got a pelican. So he cranks the pelican in. I get the pelican off. And I go, all right, well, we don't have to worry about this one anymore. So I unhook the pelican. You know, he was fine. Let him go. He kind of paddles off, flares up his wings, you know, kind of looks at me pissed off and, you know, doesn't go anywhere. So I'm like, okay. So I throw another bat of chum. Well, here he comes again. Dive bombing on the chum. Like, okay, well, just have to deal with him. So the guys are casting out. I mean, every bait they throw out, this pelican's just dive bombing on it, man. And so the guys are, you know, every cast is getting worse and worse and worse. Well, finally we hook him again. The same pelican now. So I hook the guy again, bring him in, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. I was like, all right, well, this time he's got to learn. You know, so I kind of grab him. I said, all right, buddy, you know, you got to get out of here now. So we let him go the second time. He swims off, does the same thing, shrugs his feathers at me. I think he takes a poop, sits there, and he's kind of chilling. Here he comes again. Well, the guy on the front of the boat, there's two guys on the front of the boat, two guys off the side of the boat. One guy in the front of the boat hooks a pelican. Second guy in the front of the boat hooks like a 32-inch redfish right under the pelican. So now I got a double. I got pelican, big red. So we got that going on. I'm like, all right, now you go over this way with the pelican. You go over this way with the redfish. So in the mix of keeping the guy straight on the front of the boat with the big red, I see a belly roll in between the big red and the pelican. I go, there's another redfish. So I fire the other guy's rod out there, double up on redfish. So I got a redfish, and a pelican. So we bring the guy in. I finally get the two redfish in, and the guy in the back of the boat, I said, well, just reel the pelican in. I said, just kind of hold him at the back of the boat. Let me get the fish off, and, you know, we'll let him go. So I get the redfish off. We take pictures and everything, and I kind of forgot about the pelican in the back of the boat. So I got this one client. He's just standing in the back of the boat with a rod bent over holding the pelican. The pelican's just chilling. You know, he's just like, all right, I'm waiting my turn. So finally I get back to the pelican, let him go, and he takes off. You know, and it took every bit of us. We had to hook him three times and put him in timeout before he would leave us alone, and we finally doubled up on redfish. So my come on, man, was, and I even said it a couple of times, like, come on, man, like, just get out of here. It's a real nuisance when we're fishing live bait, especially when you're chumming kind of heavy. These birds will come in, and it really makes for a frustrating yet comical experience on some level, because we see it so much. And where I was kind of going with that is, yeah, come on, man, you know, leave us alone. But at the same token, you know, the bird wasn't hurt. You know, we weren't trying to hurt the bird. I wasn't throwing egg sinkers at them. They're there. They don't know any better.
Yeah.
But it was a very comical. There's actually another boat sitting right next to us, and they watched the whole thing unfold, and it was like, I'm sure it was like America's Funniest Home Videos, man, because it was nuts.
So we're not throwing any chummers. We're not throwing any bait, so we don't have the bird thing
right,
like you have.
Right.
But believe it or not, my come on, man, involves a bird as well. So I've got Bill Gregg out there, and he's bringing his neighbor, Jim, his buddy Jim. So it's Jim's first time kayak fishing. So I get him out there. It's right after sunrise. Jim's first cast of the day. This has never happened before. A frigate bird.
Ooh, a frigate.
You got a frigate bird.
That is a big bird if you've never seen
one. Yeah, this is the first time I've seen one up close. And anyway, it gave Jim a lesson because he's like, what are you going to do, cut the line? I go, no, you never do that. That's a dead bird if you do that.
Yep.
And I said, I'm going to show you what you do. I go, this jig is in the bird's wing. And I go, here's how you do this without losing a finger. And I go, because it looks like, I go, I've never seen one up close, but it looks like they'll take your finger off.
Yes.
So got up there, and I put my paddle up against the bird's head. And so he bit down the paddle. And I reached while he's biting on the paddle. I pulled the jig out. So then it's wrapped around his wing. And I said, Jim, here's the other solution. I reached down, grabbed my scissors, and I cut the braided line. You know, if you cut it where you have the leader in hand, then the braided line will just slide right off the bird if there's no knot to catch on.
That's right.
So instead of cutting the lure off and having the knot from the line to leader connection catching on the bird, I did that. That bird was free.
Yeah.
And I just retied the leader back on, and he was back to fishing.
A
but it
frigate
was,
bird, man.
I was like,
that's plus 2 points right there, baby.
Come on, man. I haven't even had a sip of coffee yet. My coffee's reached drinking temperature, but I haven't sipped. I've taken a sip of it yet, but I got to take a bird off a hook.
And not just a bird, folks. A frigate bird. If you've never seen one, I mean, you'll know when you see one because you go, what? And it looks like an albatross.
Well, they,
you go, what
people,
the heck is that?
People mistake them for pterodactyls. They think the dinosaurs have come back.
Yeah, it's a big, gnarly bird.
Well, what I didn't know is they have a, on their throat, they have these things that inflate, kind of like a pufferfish.
Okay.
At least this one did.
Maybe that's why he was inshore, Neil.
Could be. Actually, we were over there near Fort DeSoto. I was talking to Captain Clay about it. It's Jackass Key.
Okay, yep.
There's about 200 of those birds on there, and I'd never heard them all talking like this. It was sunrise, and they were in there making noises. I'd never heard the noises that they make, but anyway, a couple of them took off right when Jim's making his first cast of the day, and I thought he had a fish on. And so I was like, what do you got, Jim? And he goes, I got one of those birds.
Plus two, baby, plus
two. So I was
two.
Like, oh, man. So, anyway, Jim thought it was funny. I go, you're a first. No one's ever caught one of those birds before.
And you know, it's something that you don't talk about a lot when you know, about fishing or even fishing shows, but it's something we got to deal with, man. I mean, a lot of the area that we fish, whether it's the South Shore, Tampa Bay, Fort DeSoto, Sarasota, you know, upper Tampa Bay, there's birds everywhere. And especially this time of year, during spring, there's a lot of birds around, a lot of activity with the birds. And, I mean, there's been times when, you know, pelicans, I'd probably say more often than not, are the ones you see with a lot of jewelry.
Yeah.
You know, corks and weights and triangle weights, and everybody at the bridge have already hooked them. But there's been a handful of times where, you know, I've seen a bird in distress. There was one time where we were fishing down by Joe's Island, down there by the 275 flat. And if you haven't been down, there's a lot of birds down in that area. And there was one particular pelican, and he kept swimming up to the boat. It kind of sunk in on Maharla, but he kept swimming up to the boat, and we didn't know what was wrong with him. And he kept swimming up, and we were chumming, and he couldn't get a bait. He was diving on the bait, and we noticed something was funny. Well, somebody had gotten him, you know, tangled up in some fishing line, and his entire mouth was wrapped shut. Not his wings, not his legs. He could fly. He could do everything normal. But there was actually, it looked like about 80-pound braid.
Yeah.
And it was just wrapped all around his beak. So we ended up getting a hold of him. And when I unwound all of the braid, it was, like, cut into his beak. You know what I mean? And we actually sat there. We named him. And we sat there and we fed him, you know, about a dozen white baits, man. He was like, the look on this bird's face was like, dude, you don't know what you just did to me.
Travis, see this scar here?
That's a good one.
That's the first pelican that I ever assisted. He had a cast net stuck around his feet in the rocks, the skyway. So I waded down. I cut my legs up getting to him. Anyway, I get him loose, and this bird swims over to me. I'm like, hey, this bird's like trying to thank me.
Yeah.
This is when I learned they have a big hook inside their mouth. He opened up his mouth, and he just raked me right there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he cut it deep, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll do the tip of the week. We got about a minute and a half in the show. So, low-flying birds. To prevent having to take a low-flying bird off your line or off your hook, drop your rod tip in the water.
Yep.
You made a long cast. You got all that line in the water. Suddenly, it's usually a cormorant or a pelican.
Mm-hmm.
Comes in flying low, boom, drop your rod tip down the water, all your line will pass beneath the bird. The bird is going to fly over your line.
Yep, that's a good point. I'd
throw that rod
thing.
Tip down in the water.
Yep, yep.
So,
and a lot of times, like you said, the turns are bad too. Those little white guys with the split tail.
We never have to deal with those. Not doing the bait thing, we'll see them from a distance, but they're almost
those
never
are the divers,
up to us.
Man.
Yeah.
They go under the water. They're like kamikaze pilots, man.
They might take an interest in a topwater lure once in a while, but usually not. Well, Travis, that's going to wrap it up for another week. So another great show. Thanks for
absolutely, man.
Thanks
it's
for joining
good.
Up with us.
Always good, man.
Again, our official website, capmel.com. Forms are free. We'll be back here next Sunday. We will be working in some guests with us, Captain Jason, Captain Travis, myself, Neil Taylor. We will be continuing to be the hosts of the show. We're very pleased with our show sponsors. We will be announcing some of those guests that we're going to be having. Now that the tournament's done, I can get back to work on some of that stuff.
That's right.
But Travis, I'll wrap it up for another week. So I will see you in here again next week, and I hope you have a great week fishing.
Sounds good. Y'all enjoy the week.
Happy fishing.
Across the field where the creek turns back by the old stumble road. I'm gonna take you to a special place that nobody knows. Baby, get ready. Ooh, ooh. You and me go fishing in the dark. Down on a deck and counting the stars where the cool grass grows.
All right, let's take this to another level.
Your home for fantasy sports and information.
WHBO,
Tampa Bay Sports Talk 1040, the team powered by SportsTalkLiana.com.